Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris and Amy show on KMOX, and we are joined in studio by Rasheen Aldridge, who is an alderman of Ward 14, which is a big part of downtown St. Louis, and he is with us. It's good to see you, Alderman. How are you?
I'm good. Glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
Well, we wanted to talk to you about a number of stuff. It's been a pretty interesting week with the Board of Aldermen. We've talked a lot about it. But want to start with your tour of the AT&T building, which you just came from, and there are plans to renovate it. It's like the biggest office building downtown. It'd be nice to see something done with it. What did you see, and what was the tour all about?
Yeah, so it's actually nice to, I never was able to see the original AT&T building. Unfortunately, I've seen the negative side of it where people are not in and out, but it's such a just a beautiful building. And I think there's a developer who has some very bold ideas, you know, as far as bringing some retail, some housing. You know, I think what was unique to learn what he's trying to do is a car garage or a car elevator that would basically park the car for you.
So it's
good that we're having conversations on how to bring, I think, you know, one of the biggest building downtowns back to life. He even has an idea to add another floor that would kind of lift people up to be able to be just a little bit under the arch at as far as the height wise. But he has some ambitious plans, and I know he's working on getting some historic tax credits from the state and just meeting with alders to, I'm sure, talk to us, because later down the line they may need a tax abatement. But it's a beautiful building, and I think glad that somebody's interested in trying to bring it back on the radar.
Is there any kind of timeline right now?
Yeah, so when I talked to him, I know next session, so the Board of Aldermen goes down, technically would have been this Friday, but after Tuesday, a special session. When we come back in April, I think he's going to hopefully start talking with alders about potential tax abatement and then vacating the Chestnut Street right outside of where the AT&T building is to make it more accessible for parking and for the residents who would live there. But he's moving pretty quick. I know there's legislation in the state level that Steve Roberts is sponsoring to give tax credits to historic buildings downtown that would change them from office space to residential.
Do you envision any hangups here? Does it look like this has got a lot of support within city government and state government that we can move forward on something?
I mean, I definitely think the support is there from city government. I haven't talked to my colleagues. I know anybody or most of the Board of Aldermen members want to make sure that we invest and help bring back downtown. I think, you know, on his end, it's just going to depend on post-COVID. We know equipment has become more and more expensive. And sometimes I've seen when developers get in, they have a price tag. And then when they start, you know, breaking down walls, they get a little higher. But I think the support, at least on the local level, would be there to bring that back on radar.
Because we talk about it all the time, that the one thing downtown needs more than anything is people. Yep. And if you got a big building like that occupied, whether it's office space, living space, whatever, that would be a huge boost.
I mean, over 600 units for a living space is what he's planning. And then retail, I think, on the first and second floor. And then kind of penthouse on the top floor and a swimming pool inside and outside where you'll be able to view the arch from the swimming pool on the outside.
So do we know what kind of price range are these, like, luxury apartment units? How much would a unit go for?
Yeah, we didn't get into details of the price of the unit. I'm sure as he's I think just trying to have conversations with Alder to sell his vision. And as he get closer and closer to the blueprints and all the ideas and then become a reality, I'm sure if he come and ask the city for support, that's going to be a big question from Alders, is like, what is the price range going to be for people to afford this?
Alderman Rasheen Aldridge, Ward 14, with us in studio. Okay, so the going back to Friday,
it was a little rough.
Yeah. Kind of funny, I guess. There were multiple proposals about what to do with the Rams settlement money. A lot of people thought there was a deal on Friday. Things didn't go well. Megan Green gabbled out. So, all right, let's start there, I guess.
Yeah.
What the hell happened on Friday?
You know, I will say, I think people are looking at Friday as like, oh, that was crazy. Coming from the state level and Congress, you know, not trying to be at the same bar. But some of the things that go down there is even more crazier than I think what you've seen the process happening at the Board of Aldermen. You know, Friday, for the last several months, there's been conversations about Board Bill 153, which is Alderwoman Sonier's bill. And she kind of was working with Pam Boyd. And they had a press conference with the mayor to find compromise with GSL. And then you still had 131, a lingering bill out there that Pam Boyd had worked with GSL that really didn't move. It seemed like the energy was around this compromise language. And then, you know, we got to the floor Friday and, you know, some of my colleagues decided at the last minute said, you know, we're not going to invest in downtown. We're not going to invest in Northside. We're not going to invest in the idea of childcare, if you like it or not, or whatever the structure of the bill was. And they said, you know, we're going to strip both bills and just do water. And I think that was, it threw a lot of people for a shock because for months we've been having these conversations of, you know, a whole package deal of using this money in a way that really can transform St. Louis. And then, you know, some colleagues are like, no, let's just do water and walk away and say we did something, which I think, in my opinion, like I said, Tuesday would have been a slap in the face for city residents who've been participating in the process. My residents downtown that wanted to see investment and using this Rams money for that, as well as my ward is the only ward that has Northside and downtown and Northside residents, you know, feeling hopeful that, you know, we can use this Rams money to also invest in North St. Louis.
So these were people who were on board with the idea until the very last minute? Is that exactly what happened?
I would say it seems like the charge was being led by Alderwoman Switzer. And out of all respect, I know she had concerns with pieces of the bill and always was very firm on just wanting to do water and then figure out like these other pieces later. When, you know, I talked to some of my colleagues, it does sound like some folks that, you know, either supported the concept at one point, didn't support it, then supported it again, and then didn't support it was like, you know, let's just do water and come back. And to be honest, if you think about it, the water department needs about $400 million. We was only going to allocate $40 million. I continue to say it's a pun on words. It literally would have been a drop in the bucket of water. And also, we're not going to spend these funds. If we would have allocated, you know, all the funds in either bill, reality is we got to focus on ARPA first. So we're not going to spend these funds probably honestly in the next year because we have a deadline to make sure that all the ARPA funds are spent by 2026. So it was a chaotic process. And I think it was, it caught a lot of people off guard. It caught me off guard because I thought we were going to go in and have a debate, you know, and people make their point of what they like in the bill, what they don't, maybe offer amendments. But they said, no, we're going to take 90% of the bill and just strip it, you know, passing the committee process, passing all of the processes we went through and strip it and just do water. And they even discharged Alderwoman Pam Boyd's bill to try to do the same thing. So they were using two avenues, honestly, to hijack two older people's bill to just say, we're going to do water and walk away to make it seem like, you know, we did something, which, you know, in my opinion, either we do the whole package or we just take a break and come back next session and try to figure out, which is only like 2 months, and figure out, you know, what are the hiccups that some of my colleagues still have so we can move a bill for the city of St. Louis.
My understanding that was that the water proposal, the $40 million for water, was just out of urgency to begin the water infrastructure repairs because of the disagreements among the Board of Aldermen between Boyd's bill, Sonier's bill, and Megan Green not agreeing with what was in those bills. So there was disagreement among those camps, and Alderwoman Switzer was saying, well, let's just at least do the water since we can't agree on any of this.
And I mean, I do think there was, again, a lot of behind the scenes of phone calls and conversation. There was, you know, as you've seen some positives and then negatives and positives and negatives again of, you know, it seemed like we had a compromise and we didn't have a compromise. You know, I think what Alderwoman Sonier was going to do is she had a floor sub to bring her bill back to, it was changed in committee, and she was going to bring it back to the compromise language that her and Boyd worked on. And again, even if we would have invested that $40 million, you know, we just raise people's water bill to make sure that we're, you know, not being below the red when it comes to water. This $40 million would have, you know, given a jolt to the water department, but it's still, it, you know, won't be enough. And I think it starts conversations of maybe do we need to look and talk with Comptroller Green? Do we need to do bonds or something that really would give even more money to the water department? But I would say there was an agreement in both pieces of legislation to at least invest in North St. Louis, invest in downtown, invest in water. maybe between the childcare and the workforce program. And then there was a program, the mayor was bringing youth opportunities. I think people had questions on that, but the investment in communities, I think, was very supportive on both bills and didn't understand why water all of a sudden was, it wasn't even a compromise. It really was like, this is what we're going to do at the last hour after the bills had came out of committee.
St. Louis Alderman Rasheen Aldridge is with us on KMOX. And I'm sure you can envision, and I would imagine a lot of people reached out to you. We saw everything that happened over now the last week. We know this RAM settlement money can help be transformational to the city. And what people look at is that and go, all right, are we going to do something transformational here? And it feels, and tell us if we're wrong, it does. I think a lot of people have the feeling, including me, and I think Amy feels the same way, that, oh man, we're not going to, this is not going to transform the city in any meaningful way. Can you assure people that it will?
Yeah, I mean, what you're looking at, I think, in the city of St. Louis, you know, is like in areas of North St. Louis and downtown, they're more in North St. Louis, but have been years of disinvestment. And, you know, downtown, I think, honestly, is kind of coming back on the up and up. You've seen a lot of positive things that are coming out of downtown. I think what this money can do is continue the positive track record that has been, you know, going on in the city. To be honest, you know, this 300 something million dollars will not change the city. You know, it will
start. I mean, it is like not that much money if you really think about it.
Not if
we
you
probably
start to
need
break
billions
it
in the city, to be
yeah,
honest.
Yeah, we do. And I mean, I think, you know, hopefully we'll see what the ARPA funds, as those dollars, you know, are being now, they were already allocated. Now we'll hopefully start to see them in action in some of the programs. And I think what this RAMS money can do is just continue kind of the positive energy of continuing to invest with lump sums of money that we haven't seen in a long time. I agree. If we really want to transform St. Louis, probably need about $2, $3 billion. But there is hope with this RAMS money. I think that we can put it in certain pots and buckets to start to make improvements in ways that we wouldn't have been able to make improvements if we didn't have this large amount of money. We would have just had to kind of operate with our city annual revenue budget.
And I guess, you know, I brought this up with Mayor Jones, who came into the studio last week and spoke with us, which we really appreciated. A lot of cynicism when residents of the city are looking at leadership, struggling with snow removal, trash not being picked up, snow plows, and looking at the North City grant program, where that money, you know, millions are was sent to North City, some of it going to businesses that don't exist or buildings that are not existing either, businesses or buildings. And they think, well, we wasted that money. How do we assure that that's not going to happen again?
Yeah. You know, with the Northside program, which I, you know, support, and I think it is a good program. I also, you know, unfortunately, it's kind of a first type of program that the city has never done before, because we've never had so much amount of funds from ARPA before to kind of create this program. And there's been hiccups. There's been hiccups where I've reached out to SLDC CEO President Neil Richardson, like, how did this happen? You know, how did, you know, people fill out an application and you guys not granted them money, but gave them a conditional, like, heads up, you're going to get it. You know, hopefully it's a learning experience for that department to kind of make sure that there is more vetting in the process with this new program. You know, and I don't disagree with the recent storm that we had with the ice and then snow. It was not, it wasn't good. And, you know, hopefully these challenges can be an opportunity for city government to figure out how do we do better. And we have to take accountability. We have to say, yes, we were wrong, but, you know, it's going to take all of us to make sure that it is fixed right. You know, and with the Rams money, I'm very hopeful. I know it looked like that it was a spectacle or a circus, but I'm hopeful that the board, you know, we've seen tough debates at the floor. I'm very hopeful that my colleagues, you know, want to work together to try to get this money out the door. And, you know, being in city government and being somebody who once upon a time who wasn't, but being in city government now, I can say, you know, there are some hiccups, but there is a lot of positive things that are also you know, happening within government with collaboration. I mean, this board has passed historic pieces of legislation. We've passed less tax abatements for developers and worked on more legislation to try to help everyday people. If it's a tenants' rights to action fund, or if it's been making sure that we were trying to put funds in medical debt. Tomorrow, I'll be hopefully passing a bill to cut red tape for food trucks and looking at how we cut red tape in city government. We are trying to move forward, but when you're working in the unknown, sometimes there are some landmines that, you know, come up. And I think we have to, when those happen, as elected officials, we got to take accountability, have a plan to figure out, you know, how we'll be able to move forward and let residents know that city government is going to continue to work and we want to work on their best interests.
Before we let you go, I wanted to ask you about the city manager proposal that is being discussed, I believe, today.
Yep. Today, right. At so 1:30.
What are your thoughts on the addition of that position?
You know, and the concept of it, I actually like it. I think, you know, the idea of a city manager is somebody who can, you know, work within the mayor's administration to focus solely on the department. So to solely focus on streets, to solely focus on refuse, and to have, I think, a long-term plan. I think a lot of times what you see with mayoral administrations is when they come in, that city manager is similar to a what the mayor has now with the not public safety director, director of operations that oversee all the departments. But, you know, with all these changes, sometimes with new administrations, they bring in a new director of operations, they bring in new department heads, and you don't have that consistency. And I think with a city manager, regardless who the mayor is, their job is going to be focusing on city services and departments and making sure they're running effectively, efficiently. I don't know if this is the right time to do it right now because we've made so many bold changes. This would be on the ballot box in 2026 for the charter change. But I do think it's at least worth having a conversation so that people can start to educate themselves on what a city manager could look like in the city of St. Louis.
St. Louis Alderman Rasheen Aldridge, thank you for stopping by and visiting with us. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely. Anytime.
It is the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.